All right, welcome to the Felt Recoil Podcast. We're 8 days late, I guess. No podcast last week, and now we're a day late this week. All my fault. Every bit of it my fault. Funny snafu of last week. I'll give you a little behind the scenes here if you care. You record a podcast, you sit down, you do your homework, whatever you feel like, or in our case, usually we just sit across from each other and talk. When it's just you, it serves you well to do a little more homework and provide more information. But either way, you sit down, you do your homework, and you hit record, and then you start recording. And that is what you send out as your podcast once you're done talking, I guess. And so that's what I did last week. Last week, I was unable to sit down and begin recording until somewhere around 11:30 at night. And it was about 12:30 the next morning when I stopped recording. And to keep it simple, just know that there was a glitch in the matrix about halfway through recording last week's episode. And so I had to press a button and then continue recording at that point, at that juncture, 33 minutes in or so. And so then I record from the 33-minute mark to about a 65-minute mark, somewhere around there. And I press another button to stop the recording. But rather than just stopping the recording, I deleted the second half I had recorded. So from 33 to 65 went away. And I thought I knew how to press a button that would undo the undoing. And when I pressed it, it undid the first half. So then I did a Google search and figured out how to reverse it, but I could only get the first half back. And I was so frustrated. And it was very late, and I said, okay, enough's enough. We'll wait, and we'll come back to this later. And so here we are later. Chris with you. Happy to have you here. Happy to be here. Patrick called away on very important business, something regarding identifying a specific genome that was used in gain-of-function research in a laboratory in Wuhan. I have no idea. It sounded very smart, but that's what he's doing. He claims he's saving the world. It didn't make any sense to me. But he's gone. I'm here. Let's start with, we got so much to try to squeeze in. I'm going to try and get to the Biden gaffe machine. Holy moly, did you hear it? Joe Biden making us all ask the same question. Is it better for the world to hate us because of Donald Trump not playing by their rules, or to just outright laugh at us because of the bumbling buffoon in the White House? This man, and I hate, you know what, I probably shouldn't say that, because I do think he's sick. I think he's having some cognitive decline, some, a lot. And his vice president really isn't that much better. All she can do is laugh and look like the most unqualified person to ever hold that position. Anyway, we're going to talk about him at the G7 summit, and boy, what a train wreck that was. They literally laughed at him. I'm going to talk about some cannibalism inside the gun community that's strange to me. I don't know why companies are doing what they're doing, and they're identifying with identity politics. I can't grasp it. And I'm going to run you through what happened out in California with the judge overturning the assault weapons bill in California. California has a month to protest that, and we'll get into all the details, plus a great VOTA of the week this week. Already gave it away, but we'll carry on. Okay, this week's charity of choice is the D-Day Memorial located in Bedford, Virginia. D-Day.org, D-Day.org. You can go to our Facebook page and link right over to make a donation. Last Monday was D-Day, June 6th, and in on June 6th, 1944, U.S. soldiers in one of the most pivotal battles of World War II invaded the French coastline in order to fight back German soldiers out of Western Europe. That led the way for victory in the end of it all. So it's a just glorious day in American history and world history, really. It highlights the American resolve, our dedication to being first to fight for freedom for everyone. And so they made the National Memorial there in Bedford, Virginia. It doesn't say it on their site, but I happen to have been told that the memorial was put there because Bedford, Virginia lost the largest concentration of its own people on D-Day. Maybe during World War II, but I'm pretty sure on D-Day specifically. Large number of the men that died that day were from that part of the country. Anyway, dday.org, you can link to it from our Facebook page, dday.org. Okay, Joe Biden is the president of the United States, and he is a laugh a minute. He's a real gas. He's a real gas. And The Blaze has a compilation of clips of just poor, poor Joe Biden. He doesn't know the difference between Syria and Libya. Three times he gets it wrong.
Where we could work together with Russia. For example, in Libya, we should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble.
He meant to say Syria.
I think I'm
going to
try very much hard to. It is. And by the way, there's places where.
Wait. What is the man even saying? What is he even saying here?
Vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. I think I'm going to try very much hard to. It is. And by the way, there's places where.
What?
I shouldn't be starting off and negotiating in public here, but let me say it this way.
Okay.
Russia has engaged in activities which we believe are contrary to international norms, but
no,
they have also bitten off some real problems they're going to have trouble chewing on. And for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, they're there. And as long as they're there without the ability to bring about some order in the region, and you can't do that very well without providing for the basic economic needs of people. So I'm hopeful that we can find an accommodation that where we can save the lives of people.
Right. All right. Anyway, so that's just trouble. Then he says, I'm going to get in trouble with my staff.
I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacobs Bloomberg.
All right, and that's because if he doesn't call on the right reporter, his staff gets angry because the man can't really discuss his way out of a wet paper bag. He can't make a cognitive thought. He cannot stream together words that mean anything when put into whatever order he puts them into. So he has a pre-approved list of reporters that he's to call on. His staff puts it together. The reporters have the questions. I would assume Biden already knows what the questions are going to be and has rehearsed his answers. I really think that happens to him every time he speaks in public. Because here's what happens when he starts to leave, and then a member of the press questions him. And here's his response, which, by the way, his response to this really proves what a jerk this guy is. Like, you know how sometimes you have public figures and you think, I bet that guy's nice in private. I bet that person is okay to be around. And there's other people where just the way they behave, you go, that guy's a jerk. I can tell you that guy's a jerk 100,000%. Here's Biden showing he's the latter of the two.
These conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Need time. Thanks.
And then he walks off. Probably the highlight is when Joe Biden tried to tell Boris Johnson that he never introduces the president of South Africa. And Boris Johnson basically tells him to shut up. And you can't see the video. But if you go watch the video, Boris Johnson shushes Biden numerous times with his left hand. You know, he does that thing where you stick it out to tell the person to be quiet, stop talking, I'm talking, stop talking, I'm talking. Boris Johnson goes around, introduces all the people. Biden says, you forgot the president of South Africa. Boris Johnson says, no, I didn't, essentially. And as soon as the world leaders, what's going to happen here, Biden does something dumb, everyone laughs at him, and then shortly thereafter, you're going to hear the Wranglers come around and tell the press to get out of the room. Listen to this.
Those who have just joined us, bringing some pretty spectacular weather with them, Prime Minister Modi, President Ramaphosa, President Moon, in just a minute.
And the President of South Africa.
And the President of South Africa, as I said earlier.
Oh, and you did,
well. I certainly did.
But you get elected twice. So.
I'll go over that again. Let me tell you, we're delighted. We're joined by Prime Minister Modi. Let's go. Let's get out.
So it's hard to make out there, but essentially what happens is Biden, very confused, interrupted Boris Johnson, the Prime Minister of the UK, and said, and the President of South Africa, right after Boris Johnson had introduced the President of South Africa. And Boris obviously said, you heard him say there, as I already did. And then Biden says, no, you didn't. And he says, but I did. Anyway, so Biden, a gaffe a minute, and it just begs the question, would you rather be laughed at or disliked because you play a little bit of hardball? That's for America to decide, I guess. Okay, let's talk about the fact that it's Pride Month. Are you excited that it's Pride Month? I don't care that it's Pride Month. I don't know anybody that does care that it's Pride Month in my personal life. And if you're celebrating Pride Month, more power to you. But Pride Month is a celebration of identity. And people use Pride Month as a pawn in the game of identity politics. And I find, I think you would too, identity politics is entirely antithetical to personal liberty. You cannot be in favor of both of those things, because the way identity politics works is you have a segment of people who band together and they say, we identify with each other solely based on a singular characteristic that we all have in common, this month being homosexuality. So our sexual preference, what we enjoy in the bedroom, is what defines us this month. That's what we want to celebrate. I find that whole idea absurd on its face. I don't understand what type of people outside of porn stars want to be known for the things they enjoy in their bedroom. You should have more to live for. There should be more substance to you as a person. But there is a large contingency of people, apparently, enough to fill some parades, that all they want you to know about them is the type of thing they enjoy doing in their bedroom, the type of sex they like having. That's all Pride Month is a 30-day discussion on the type of things consenting adults like to do together. There is, by the way, no other recognition for any other type of sex than this month. The gay community is the only one that does it. I'm not going to get super graphic, but suffice to say, you probably cannot think of another month where large corporations and major retailers and parades take place celebrating whatever that type of act is people enjoy doing in their bedroom. It doesn't exist. It's not a thing. Pride Month is the only time we do it. And I don't know why we do it. You're bigger and better than that. You are defined by better things than whatever your sexual habits and desires are. Those are what we call private. They are not things meant to be shared in the public space. That is why Pride Month is annoying. Not because anybody thinks anything less of someone else because they're a homosexual. Simply because we don't talk about that. I don't get together with my straight friends and talk about the things we do in the bedrooms with our wives. I don't think normal people do that. So why is Disney Plus and Amazon and everybody else so fired up about suddenly talking about what a very small segment of society enjoys doing in the bedroom. Now, the argument is, well, that's not what it's about. It's actually about ending discrimination against homosexuals. Fine. Where is that happening? Where is it happening? Because there are some very common wives' tales out there, some folklore that people use consistently to say there's this rash of anti-homosexual hate in the United States. Matthew Shepard, not a hate crime against a gay man. It was a drug deal gone bad. It has been proven. No argument about it. For some reason, the firearms community has decided this year to cannibalize itself and say that people who enjoy firearms, who support individual liberty, who believe in the foundation of the United States of America, who believe, by the way, that that foundation is a nearly perfect foundation. People who agree with Frederick Douglass, a man who came around and said, you know, there were some problems with this document when you men began this country, in my opinion. But the more I've studied it, the more I've determined it is nearly perfect. Because it is the document that led to the eradication of slavery. It is the document upon which laws are based that have provided freedom to all people equally. There's nothing in the Constitution that says you cannot be a homosexual. Quickly, people will say, well, what about gay marriage? We had to fight for the right to be married. Well, let's pull that apart. Gay marriage, traditional marriage, are two entirely different things. Traditional marriage is treated by the average American as a holy union between two people, solidified by a contract between them and God. And so I like to tell this story about when I got married and how angry I was that the state was involved at all. I had to stand in front of some guy in a courthouse in Georgia, where we lived at the time, and sign a piece of paper agreeing to marry my wife. We were then, quote unquote, legally married. And that gentleman was not happy that I wasn't taking it seriously. He kept telling me, it's legal, it's legal, it's legal, it's legal. You need to take this seriously. This is legal when you leave. You got to be more serious. This is legal when you leave. And I kept telling him, I don't care. The state has no business in a religious contract between two people of the same faith. My wife and I, in my opinion, were officially married when we stood before God and family and pledged ourselves to each other. Ergo, people who believe in traditional marriage are somewhat ruffled on their feathers by the idea of gay marriage only because it allows the state to put it on par as a religious entity. Say what you will, the Bible is very clear about what marriage should be and between whom marriage is. Now, the way you can solve that problem, by the way, is you take the state out of it entirely. And you say, if you want to be married to someone, be married to that person. If two consenting adults want to be married and they want to go around and tell each other, our baby has two dads and we're married, that's perfectly okay. You don't get in the way of that if the state can get out of the business, right? Because now it's not a holy matrimony for those who believe in the traditional marriage side. See, what I'm trying to say is there's a place here for everybody to be happy when it comes to the gay marriage. You get the state out of marriage entirely. The state has nothing to do with it. And if a church wants to marry a gay couple, then that church has the right to do that. That's their religion. You and I will not stand in between people freely practicing a religion that does not bother you and me. It doesn't impede on our rights at all, at all. But what does begin to cause the friction is what Recoil Magazine and the Firearms Policy Coalition have done in the past week. And it's been kind of staggering to see some pretty big names take sides with them in what is really almost a straw man argument. So Recoil Magazine put an openly gay shooter on the cover of this month's issue, although I think it's a quarterly magazine. I don't know. I haven't subscribed to Recoil in a couple of years. Doesn't matter too much. And I'm pretty sure, by the way, that I stopped my Recoil subscription because of their parent company, something their parent company did. I'd have to go back and do my homework. I didn't. Doesn't matter. Here's the point. So they put an openly gay shooter on the cover, and they basically said that if this irks you, it's because you don't believe in individual liberty. When in fact, it's quite the contrary. You don't peddle in identity politics and define someone by one category and say you're a bigot if you don't agree with them, and then also get to say that you believe in individual liberty. Because if you do believe in individual liberty, you're not irked by the fact that I disagree with you pandering to the homosexual community to sell your magazine. Because that's all it is. This gentleman, who I'd never heard of before, who apparently won a reality show or was a high-ranking contestant on a reality show and is an openly gay man and is married to a man, the problem for Recoil, they put him on the magazine, and then they want to say, well, he's there because he's a strong opponent of individual liberty. That's not why he's there. Not to say he's not a strong proponent of individual liberty, but that's not why he's in a rainbow-colored American flag. By the way, offensive in and of itself. You guys all want to gripe about the thin blue line flags that you see, but then you want to support the rainbow flag. Little hypocrisy happening. All the know-it-all alpha males of the gun world, by the way, is who I'm talking to. They're the ones. Ah, yeah. You can't put him out there on the cover of the issue and say, celebrate Pride Month, peddle in identity politics, and then tell me that I'm the bigot that doesn't support individual liberty. He's not there because he supports individual liberty. He might very well support individual liberty. But the only reason he's on the cover of that magazine right now is because he's homosexual. He did nothing else to earn that spot. Nothing. Nothing. He wouldn't be on the cover of the magazine, regardless of whatever reality show he may have won, regardless of whatever work he's done to further the Second Amendment. None of that would have mattered if he weren't gay. There are plenty, plenty of heroes, legitimate war-surviving heroes, who have never been on the cover of Recoil Magazine, who would have made a fantastic choice for that month's issue. They've probably done more than for the country than this man has. They'll never see the cover of the magazine simply because they're not homosexual. Simply because they don't fall into the category that the identity politics wants to convey this time. What is the difference between the Pride movement and Black Lives Matter? Take away defunding the police. Take away the violence of Black Lives Matter. And then tell me, what's the difference? Because the shooting community, at writ large, is incredibly angry at Black Lives Matter and Antifa because they use violence to further their means. They're both terrorist organizations. But at the crux of it, if you strip that away, you have somewhat of the same thing, meaning the Pride community is identity politics. Black Lives Matter is identity politics. Antifa is identity politics. It is all rooted in the same idea that I am defined by this one thing. And anyone who dare oppose this one thing that makes me an outlier, that has historically been ousted by society, or I have a notion that I've been held back and oppressed by society, and it's because of this one little thing I can cling to, ergo, you owe me, America. And if you oppose me, you're a bigot. And so what the firearms community has done in the last week is really cannibalized itself by playing these identity politics with the Pride movement. So Recoil Magazine puts this guy on the cover. They put it out there. They say you can pre-order if you want. And then they have to release a statement because they got a lot of backlash. A lot of backlash. And as I mentioned, they basically say Chris Chang has been a staple in the shooting community for a decade. He's graced the pages of Recoil Magazine many times. Not the cover. They said pages. I don't know if he's ever been on the cover before. They said pages. Have they never given him the cover? Think about that. Think about your existence is distilled down to that. He should be offended. Chris Chang should be offended that if Recoil's never put him on the cover before, he should be horribly offended that they never thought to put him on the cover until they needed a gay man to fulfill their agenda. That should infuriate Chris Chang. But what Recoil says is, if you're as strong of a defender of individual liberty as Chris Chang, we'll put you on the cover and let you pick your own wardrobe too. That's not why he's on the cover. And as I said, there are plenty of people who are strong defenders of individual liberty that have not been put on the cover of Recoil Magazine. And this month, those people didn't get an opportunity because they're not gay. Recoil Magazine pandered. And they're playing an identity politics, which is a leftist tactic. There's no excuse for it at all. None. None, none, none. Not the solidarity idea, not that we support everybody. And here's where they start to turn it on you. Apparently, if you're opposed to the Pride movement and the social justice warriors of the world like Recoil and identity politics like everybody else is obsessed with these days, if you're opposed to all of those things, it's because you don't think gay people should be allowed to own guns. It is the most absurd thing I've ever heard, but it is legitimately what Recoil and Firearms Policy Coalition are telling people. Is that the problem here is you believe not everyone is allowed to own a firearm. Again, what's the difference between that mentality and Black Lives Matter? For Firearms Policy Coalition to tell me that everyone has the right to own a firearm, that the second, what they're saying is, the Second Amendment applies to everyone. That's their retort, their response to everyone. The Second Amendment applies to everyone. That's what we believe. Of course it does. Of course it does. Find me the person, find me the one rally, the one get together, the one protest, and I'll shut up about it. Find me the one time people gathered in the United States of America and said gay people should not be allowed to own guns. I really would love to see that. Maybe it's happened, and maybe those outliers are there, but those people are incredible extremists, and nobody takes them seriously. There's not one logical, moral person in the firearms community who is saying gay people aren't allowed to own guns. But there is Firearms Policy Coalition and there is Recoil Magazine, now both of them playing in identity politics. And that is so counterintuitive to what we're trying to do. Listen, you can't be E Pluribus Unum and mess with identity politics. It doesn't work that way. Out of many, one. We are one. We don't put each other up on a pedestal because we're gay or we're black or we're straight or we're white or we're Hispanic. That shouldn't be the case. Why is it so cliche these days? So utterly cliche to have people say out of frustration, what happened to judging people on the content of the character and not the color of their skin. And now we have to add in, or their sexual proclivity. What happened? You're so far gone. You're so self-absorbed thinking this is Recoil. This is FPC going. They're going woke. They're going woke. And these are certainly both organizations that I'm sure have done a lot of good. Firearms Policy Coalition especially has done a lot of good. They've filed tons of lawsuits that have helped you and me. But how do you continue to support an organization that is suddenly so counter everything you thought they stood for? And again, not because they're saying homosexuals should be treated equally. Of course they should. What they're doing is they're peddling an identity politics, and they're playing the card that if you don't agree that people deserve to be championed for their sexual preference, you're a bigot who obviously believes that gay people shouldn't be allowed to own guns. I don't understand it. And by the way, FPC is peddling a falsehood about the Pulse nightclub shooting. Tragic. A terrible tragedy. No one would argue that. But what has been proven to be true about the Pulse nightclub shooting is Pulse wasn't the intended target. Disney was the original target of the shooter. Disney. The security at Disney caused the shooter to go elsewhere. And he drove around till he found a nightclub and he went inside. And sure, maybe he said, you know what? Gay nightclub, sick of those guys too. I'm going in there. Sure, maybe. But what we know to be fact is that it wasn't originally planned that he would go out and shoot up a gay club. He wanted Disney and couldn't get it and ended up at Pulse nightclub. The most important thing to take away is the fact that if the firearms community and organizations at the helm of the firearms community decide peddling an identity politics is their way to go, you're going to have a fracture in the community that will not be able to be healed. Not because you're supporting equal rights for homosexuals. That's not what you're doing. That's not what you're doing. We've read your comments. We've seen them. What you're doing, and again, using the Gadsden flag and painting it as a rainbow flag, that's cultural appropriation. You're not really supposed to do that. But FPC did it anyway. They did it anyway. That is insulting, by the way, to people who care about the founding of the country. You don't deface things like that for your identity politics. You don't do it. It's rude. That's a misstep on your part. And it's not because it was representing homosexuals. Had you done it in the Mexican flag colors and said, this is for the kids at the border, I'd be equally offended. And it's funny because we're not allowed any sacred symbols. Straight white guys, we're not allowed any sacred symbols. You watch the introduction to South Park, see what they do to Jesus. See how people deface the cross and call it art. The American flag is burned in the street, and that's celebrated. Gadsden flag is painted with rainbow colors, and we're told to shut up about it. We're not allowed our sacred symbols. It's a funny double standard. It's as if whatever community wants can hijack our things, and in our viewpoint, desecrate them, make them something they're not supposed to be, and then we have to just shut up and take it. But when we gripe about it, suddenly we're painted as the bigots. I would think Recoil and Firearms Policy Coalition would have been smarter about that. Obviously, neither of them are, because they care more now about casting the widest net possible. And again, this is not about the equal rights side of their argument. What it's about is the fact that they're pandering to Pride Month in order to sell whatever their service is. And then when people oppose that, those who support the identity politics that Recoil and Firearms Policy Coalition are now peddling in, their supporters are coming after and saying, well, you must believe that not everyone should be allowed to own a gun. You don't really support the Second Amendment. But nobody's made that claim. Nobody's made that argument. All we're saying is we're tired. We're tired of the identity politics. We're tired of none of our things being allowed to be sacred. And what we want is a little bit of support and cohesiveness. And again, you're not going to find anybody out there who is saying gay Americans shouldn't be allowed to own firearms. I don't think those people exist. I really don't. If they do, they're fringe lunatics. They definitely don't have a voice in society. You're making it up. It's a straw man. You've invented it, and you want to argue about it. It's not true. It's not there. Okay, put your tinfoil hat on before we do our vota, and I want to share this story with you. Really sad, but you got to wonder. From the New York Post, Christopher Sine, I'll try that again. Christopher Sine is an Alabama news anchor who broke the story about Bill Clinton meeting with Loretta Lynch on the tarmac, if you remember. And they were there to discuss God knows what, a lot of speculation. Hillary Clinton was being investigated by the FBI at the time. Bill Clinton meeting with the head of the DOJ. I mean, you know. Yeah, you tell me what you think they were talking about. Mr. Sine has been found dead at the age of 45 by apparent suicide. The Alabama TV anchor who broke news of the infamous 2016 tarmac meeting between former President Bill Clinton and then Attorney General Loretta Lynch died in an apparent suicide, according to reports and his employer. He was 45, found dead in his home in Hoover, Alabama, after cops received a call of a person down. Former college football player's death is being investigated as a suicide, Hoover Lieutenant Keith Cheskelba said, according to the outlet. Chris was a tremendous leader in our newsroom, wrote ABC 3340 Signs outlet in a Saturday tribute to the reporter. I can tell you this, by the way, just 2 degrees of separation here. I had a working relationship with Chief Deputy Randy Christian, the Jefferson County Sheriff's Office, when I lived in Birmingham, and he wrote a very touching, very long tribute to Mr. Sine. And it seems like Mr. Sine was loved by everyone. And it is incredibly sad, and it's incredibly odd to have another major player in the Clinton scandals dead by suicide. Makes you wonder what the connection is. That's all. Okay, let's do our vota, and boy, it's a doozy. I told you who would be in the top. If you caught it, maybe.
I'm an ambitious officer.
One vota. Everybody knows the rules.
I need to be a part of the 100 Club.
All right, Kalamala Olive Harris is one-on-one with with Lester Holt on NBC News.
Just quickly put a button. Okay. Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Well, I mentioned it because I know Republicans have certainly come at you on this, but Democratic Congressman Cuellar, as a border district, has said to you and the president, come. You need to see this.
Listen, I care about what's happening at the border.
No, she doesn't. By the way, Democrats lost McAllen, Texas. Did you see that? It's been a long time. Deeply blue. It's not anymore. She's probably a large part of the reason why. We'll be back in just 6 more days. New episodes of the Felt Recall Podcast every Tuesday, wherever you like to get your podcasts. You can find us online at FeltRecallShow.com. We're on all social media. You stalk us, and we'll stalk you in return. We'll see you in 6 days.